Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I have a shepherd. When I go through the valley, and we all do, the Lord is my shepherd. A little bit of background. Psalm 22 is a psalm about Calvary. Psalm 24 is a psalm about heaven. Mount Calvary, Mount Zion. And in between those two psalms, we have the 23rd psalm, the valley. We need a shepherd. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're in trouble in this world. We're a broken people. We know that. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. We are not evolving. We are devolving as a culture, like every other culture around the world. 1962, we relegated God out of our public schools, prayer, and Bible reading. And I'm telling you, for that 60-some years now, it's just gotten darker and darker and darker. For so many in our culture today, the Bible and God has no part in their life. They never even think of Him. They never even allude to Him. And we are right now, for all these years, America's been shaking its fist at God, and we're right now, we're reaping some of those consequences. But hey, it's just like Jesus said it was going to be before He returned. Now, one day, very soon, the trumpet is going to sound. I look forward to it. In the meantime, there's the valley. Tuesday, I got a phone call. It wasn't the official phone call. It came through the grapevine. And I considered him a big brother in the Lord. Really, in reality, I considered him my grandpa in the Lord, Pastor Al Knutson. But my wife pointed out to me he wasn't that much older than I am. So he couldn't be my grandpa. But he spoke with authority in everything he did. And so he's my big brother. And I got the phone call that Al Knutson had been promoted to heaven. Later that day, I got the official phone call from his wife, tell me that Al had gone home to heaven. You talk about mixed emotions. Let me tell you something about Pastor Al. He chose to go to heaven. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, number one, he got born again. 76 years of age. He was in the harness, the gospel harness, a long time. But many times he was rode hard all day long and went to bed wet, you know, and got up the next morning, got right back in the saddle again. You know, he just kept on serving God. He had that kind of tenacity. By the way, I looked at some of his pictures when he was a little boy and when he was in college, at Bible college, and he was telling me the truth. He played college football for 1 year at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. There he was, black and white picture, flat hair, flat top haircut, number 68. And I got to thinking, he had that look about him like he always had. I thought to myself, he had to be one mean-spirited defensive guard. All 5'7" of him, you know. But can you imagine that? I got that phone call. It was mixed emotions. And 2 weeks prior, I visited him when he was in ER, went down to preach an event at his church in Manistee, Michigan. And he set it up for evangelism, and two people got saved that night. It was wonderful. But when I got there, they were taking him by ambulance to the hospital. And after the event, I went over to the hospital right away. And in ER, I sat beside his bed and then eventually knelt beside him and prayed. And he said, Brother Tim, well, first of all, I said, have you made plans for your funeral, Brother Al? I don't want you to go now, but have you made plans? And he looked at me like only Al Knutson could. You could hear him, those of you that know him, with a real low voice. Preacher, don't tell me you forgot already. Yes, I asked you 3 years ago to do my funeral. It's like, oh yeah, I remember now. I remember Brother Al. You know, so he's even reprimanded me in his last times that we were together. I said, you don't mind if I pray selfishly? I want you to stay a little while longer. We've got some more buildings to build out at Canaan Land. We need you, brother. And he said, Brother Tim, he said, I get a blood transfusion. I'm good for 2 days, and then for 3 weeks, I'm useless. He said, I look at those blood transfusions as life support. He said, if that's the way I got to live here on this earth, I'm ready to go home. and I want to go. And I'm done with the blood transfusions. He's a man of faith and a man of courage. He knew that when he stopped those blood transfusions, he was going home. And he said, no more. I'm ready to meet my God. I'm homesick for heaven. He was in that strait betwixt two, like Paul spoke of, where he wants to stay and minister. There's more. And he said, and he looked at me again and says, I want the gospel preached at my funeral. And I know you're the guy to do it. And I made a vow. Of course, I preach the gospel at every funeral. So let me tell you what happened. Between Friday and Saturday morning, there were like 27 pastors that came. At the funeral itself, I think the count was 16. I don't know if that was including me and Brother Ken or not. But those preachers, and the place filled right up. I didn't know who's saved, who's not saved. I don't know who's church people, who's not church people. And the preachers sat behind me in the choir loft. You know, just picture this, 16 preachers back there, all independent Baptists, all mean as a rattlesnake, and love the Lord Jesus, and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit was upon them. And it was like preaching with the Sanhedrin behind me. And, you know, all those Pharisees and Sadducees looking down at me while I was preaching. And God took over in the meeting. I had a real nice sermon planned, and I didn't preach any of it. Didn't have any kind of outline. After I got started, I knew that's how it was going to be. And maybe much like this morning, God took over, and 12 souls received Christ at that funeral. Not a big church. It might be able to see 200 in there. 12 souls. And I found out afterwards, some of them were people that Al had been working on and praying for years. What a great joy it was. Got down to do the committal service at the end. I stood down at the head of the casket. I asked the other preachers to come down with me, and they all got around the casket. There were tears of joy. There was notes of victory. And I made them all promise to come to my funeral. And I told them, and I want you to cry a lot at my funeral. I went, oh, what a great guy he was. And, you know, not. But I did. I said, I want all you guys there, whoever, you know, whenever it happens. You know. So we had the little committal service there. It's great to be a preacher. You know that? I so love serving God. Here we get to the end of life, and the soldier gets to the end of life, and you think, man, it's all over. No, it's just beginning. And to be a preacher and to be part of that, I can only imagine the moment he was ushered into the presence of God. My brother Al. When he first saw the city, the celestial city, can you imagine? He was alive last week at this time. Now he's in God's heaven. What a privilege it is to serve God. So I got in the funeral coach. I'm going to get to the 23rd Psalm here in a moment, all right? I got to the funeral coach, and funeral director was there. We had a 40-minute ride around Al's country down there is what it was. That was the processional because we couldn't go to the cemetery. And we ended up coming back to the church and having that potato salad and everything we normally have, right? And it was the wife of the funeral director. He was at another funeral. They have 5 funeral homes. And she sat there next to me. And we for 40 minutes, we talked. And the first thing she said to me when she got in was, that was amazing. She said, I've never been to a funeral like that. All those preachers. What you said from the Bible. She was a Catholic lady. I spoke to her about the gospel. She said, I got saved in VBS. My grandma. She named a little Baptist church down in Northwest Michigan in the Lower Peninsula. I received Christ back then. She said, that was the greatest. She said, that was, she kept saying, she said 2 or 3 times, that was amazing. I want you to know the 23rd Psalm, I'm glad I'm a sheep. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What I want you to see here in these first 2 verses, I've preached through this 3 different times, because I checked my old Bible. I got my brand new Bible. It's 2 weeks old now, so all the notes in here are brand new to me. And I see three different outlines in Psalm 23. I don't really have a big outline here today, this morning. In fact, there's no outline at all. What I want you to know in the first couple of verses is God takes care of his people. The Lord is my shepherd. Sweet psalmist of Israel wrote this. David, he said, God is my shepherd. He didn't write this when he was a young man. He wrote this when he was an old man. He went through all, climbed all kinds of mountains and went through all kinds of deep water and valleys, and he lived a lot of life. And he remembered when he was a young shepherd boy in the hills of Judea, and there he'd be watching over the little flocks. And he remembered the staff and the hook and the staff and what his job was to take care of the sheep of his flock. And he says this very poetically and very eloquently, the Lord is my shepherd. King David said, I have a shepherd. He guides and he directs in my life. He leads me. He protects me. He watches over me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down. That's important. God takes care of me. He puts me where I need to be. And if I ever get bullheaded along the way, he being the good shepherd, he's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He'll get my attention. It could happen in any way. It could happen with a tragedy, a crisis. And we all go through them. It could be a relationship problem. It could be a nervous breakdown. It could be a throw your hands in the air. You'd lose your job. It could be a financial thing. It could be all kinds of different events. But God, he says, I have a shepherd who guides me and directs me. I am led and fed by the hand of God. King David said, and all people bringing all their problems to him, he says, I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He meets my every need. I have no need except it is met by God himself. It's great to be a born-again Christian, isn't it? It's great to be that kind of Christian that you know you're loved by God. And things can go wrong during the week, during the day, during the month. There's going to be things happen in the month of, this is March, all right? We're almost done with March. There could be things happen next month. I'm not prepared for it today. It doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. And God gives me what I need today. If I'll just let him shepherd, if I'll just let him lead me along, just lead me along. I just follow the shepherd. I know everything is going to be all right. If I'm the dumb sheep that runs off over the next hill, starts doing my own thing, everybody get behind me. Hey, two or three, come on, let's not go alone. Then God is going to make you to lie down in green pastures. But we're led by God. He restoreth my soul. That's refreshment. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yesterday, my soul was restored. Really, very odd, you'd think. At a funeral? Yeah. Absolutely. Man, I was so full yesterday. I knew you were praying. I knew. How many prayed for that funeral yesterday? God bless you. See, you had a part in all of that. And again, people got saved that Al had been working on for a long time. He had a coffee clutch. Everybody in the town knew him. There were people there that were mad at him and left the church, and they came back for his funeral. You know why? They loved brother. They knew that Al loved them. I told him, man, rally the troops, man. Come on back. You know, you need to be here. You need to be in the service of the king. And I tried to make it as practical as I could. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The righteous walk. Surrendered on the inside, conformed to Christ on the outside, and bearing fruit everywhere you go. That's the paths of righteousness. That's going where God wants you to go, doing what God wants you to do, being tender to the Holy Spirit, being not conformed to the world. Again, I'll say it. Surrendered on the inside. That's a heart issue. That's the first thing. Not self-will. I'm okay, God. I'm following you. Conformed on the outside, conformed to the image of Christ. It affects where I go and who I talk to, you know, what I talk like and the kind of clothes that I wear. It affects all of that. I want to reflect Jesus Christ and then bearing fruit everywhere I go. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, speaks of a crisis. We all have them. You will have great tragedies in your life. Some of you maybe are in families that haven't seen a lot of death. It's going to happen. And it'll happen a lot. And you'll find out how good God is. Maybe you're just kind of riding the wave thinking, I'm okay, you're okay, the world's okay. I'm telling you, there's going to be valleys. They're going to be deep. They'll be dark. But like David, you'll be able to say, if you're surrendered, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some of you are going to bury children along the way. It happens. It happens in almost every family. You understand that? It might be the extended family, but it happens. Some of you, you're going to be burying parents. Some are going to be, you're going to experience financial failings. And some that you're serving mammon and you're serving the things of this world and you get all excited about money and never excited about God and you don't use any of your money for God. I pray God makes you broke real quick. So you start leaning on God because that's what's best for you. That's what we need. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. One that guides us through life. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod for correction. The hook rescues the little lambs, the little sheep to get out in the mountains and in the wilderness. The staff for protection. Fight off the wild animals that are trying to kill the sheep. David said, I got a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want, good times and bad. Jesus cares for me. Never go wrong following God. And when the crisis comes, there's rest for my soul. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. There are real blessings in following God. If the height of the blessings in your life is a ball team, I feel bad for you. If as good as it gets in your life is there's a real nice meal at your table, if that's as good as it gets, I feel bad for you. If as good as it gets in your life is the stock market goes up, I feel bad for you. I really do. You're probably a real lonely person in reality. And if your happiness depends on happenings that take place in this world, I'm telling you, you got to get to the place where you're following God. And he says here in verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You may not know what that really means there, but here's the custom. Here's how it worked in the East, all right? And this is what David is speaking of. If I was even a pilgrim, and that I am, in David's day, if I was a Bedouin shepherd and I lived in tents, and I was invited to a meal at someone else's tent, they invited me in and they had a big table spread, and there was food at that table, and I'm able to sit at that table or maybe even sit down low at that table, and with also invited that day is my mortal enemy, and he sits across the table from me. According to the custom of the day, because the host is there who invited me there, that my enemy, my mortal enemy, can't lift a finger to harm me. All he can do is sit across the table, eat the meat, and get indigestion. That's all he can do. He can grit his teeth and look at me and give me all kinds of evil eye, but he has no power over me because I'm sitting in the presence of the host. Look what it says here. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'm sitting at God's table when I'm following him. God is sovereign, and nothing will come into my life. The devil cannot destroy me. The devil can do me no harm unless my host, who knows what's best for me, allows it to happen. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil like a king. Thou anointest, David remembered when he was anointed king of Israel. Thou anointest my head with oil. I love these last four words. My cup runneth over. Man, you can't go wrong serving God. You'll never outlove him. You'll never outgive him. You'll never outdo him in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you're struggling in life, it's because you're not following the shepherd. You'll find that the shepherd will lead you in paths of righteousness. What we have trouble is when we, tonight I'm preaching on my secret friend. the Holy Spirit of God. Pride and arrogance fights the Holy Spirit. It does. I'm going to preach on that tonight. I don't know why that came out just now. That's for tonight. I'm going to set that aside, all right? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's poor English, but it's true. It keeps getting gooder and gooder. You know, just every day gets better. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You know, just every day, that's another day of service. Brother Al was 76 years of age. 76. Have I told you today's my birthday? That's not emotional to me at all. I'm 61. I'm looking forward to see what I'm going to get. I'm 61. But it does remind me of my mortality. Yesterday I stood at that casket and touched Al's hand. I said, I'm going to work harder. There's one less soul winner in this world. Now we got some new soul winners here this morning. You can fill the gap. You can get at it. Serve God. My cup runneth over. I sat there at that funeral service and saw all those people. A lot of down and outers. A lot of middle class people. There were even probably some up and outers as well. Al was their pastor. I told them he loved them. That he poured his life into Calvary Baptist Church. That's his legacy. The legacy of Christ. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want that. You know who it is that goodness and mercy follows? Those that have a shepherd. Those that follow the shepherd. That's what David was saying. Put it together. First verse, last verse. He said, because I follow the shepherd, because I follow him, I know that goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Your life is made up of days. And though in those days you know the mercy of God. And in those days you know the goodness of God. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You that have been surrendered or are surrendered. And you know what it is to be in the middle of God's blessing. To doing the right thing, whether it's tough or not tough, whether it's good times or bad, whether it's a mountaintop or down in the deepest valley. David said, I have a shepherd. And then he says in the final part of the verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Forever salvation. Let's make it practical as well. David, and you know this from the Psalms. I can take you to Psalm and verse. He loved to worship with God's people. New Testament, where we're at right now, New Testament connotation, he loved the New Testament church. He was there every chance he could. He was there every opportunity he could to worship and to honor God. He said, I'd dwell there. If I could, I'd live there. I look forward to staying there. I'm not beating feet for the door as soon as the service is done. Boy, that's a dangerous thing to preach here. You know what happens this morning? Tomorrow, this morning we're going to get done with church. There'll still be people here at 1 o'clock. And I'm trying not to look unspiritual, but I'm thinking, man, I've got a roast. I want to go eat, you know, flip the lights. And, oh, electricity went off, you know. But David said, I dwell in the house, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You don't love church, you're probably not going to, from the human perspective, like heaven a whole lot. I'm just telling you that right now, because we're going to honor God. We're going to worship God. It's going to be quite a place. And Al is there right now, and the Lord tarries. It might be you're going to be there very soon. The funeral director said to me, that was amazing. She was talking about our God. Talking about the joy of God's people. Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock hour. Al is wanting to go home. The angel comes and says, Al, you ready? I sure am. And ushers him home. You saw loved ones. Here's the deal. We all forget this. The pictures remind us. He was once a young man. I saw a picture of him in the 70s with the bangs. You know, and all light and not heavy and trim and athletic and vivacious. Oh, I tell you this. His wife, Lois, thank you, God, was not standing within earshot of me. She was about 10 feet, because I looked afterwards. I'm standing next to a couple of people, a couple of preachers, and there's a family picture. I said, oh, there's Al. Looks like some of his kids. Is that? Pastor Rader's not real smart, even though he's 61 now. Is that Al's mom standing behind him? They looked at me. Said, that's Lois. I said, oh. And I looked, and she was over there. She didn't hear me. I made them swear. Took a blood oath. They weren't going to tell anybody. Everybody was young at one time. Your grandparents, they were young at one time. Those of you that are teenagers, they were just like you. Man, they could do anything. They were bulletproof. You know, that's the way they felt. And age came along. And Al was ushered as an old preacher man into the presence of God. He saw the face of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.